But I think one of the great joys in life is getting new shoes. It's getting new running shoes, right? Cross trainers. You know, for people, they get cross trainers, they get workout shoes, they get walking shoes. I get those kind of shoes, but I just use them just to walk around the house in, you know. And, you know, you go into the store and there they are, and they're usually on these little deals. You know how they're always up there, one shoe. And you look at it and you see it and it's white and the laces look so good and the sides look good. And then you look down at the one you have on and it's got Oklahoma red clay, you know, and you go, there's this contrast between the old and the new. The other day I got some new workout shoes. I do the Stairmaster thing. And so I got these shoes and my old ones, I've had them for a long time. In fact, the bottoms were coming off. And so I got them and it was amazing. I put these new ones on and I went, wow. And I took the old ones and I threw them away and put the new ones on. And Paul uses that analogy when he says, as we live the Christian life, we take off the old and we put on the new. In fact, the words that he uses in the Greek was the word used for putting on a shirt, taking off. It's like taking off your top and putting on another top. That's the word he uses, take off the old and put on the new. And the goal and the idea there is to we're to live differently. We're no longer to live like we used to live. And we're no longer to live like the unbelieving world, but we're now children of God. And I think this is a very powerful section because we're seeing Paul's charge to live that way. He describes the unbeliever, talks a little bit about it, and he gives some instructions. Let me give you a brief review because as we get into this, chapter 4 is the practical section. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 is who we are in Christ. When you get into chapter 4, he says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you. He charges you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called. We'd say it this way, live out who you are. You're a child of God, you start living like a child of God. That's what we're supposed to do. It's implied as we go through this that a child of God can live not like a child of God. It's true. We know that. There are people that teach today that if you don't live godly and righteously and holy, you're not a Christian. That's not right. Believers can live bad. Just look around. Look at all of us. We do. We live. Sometimes we live like this world. And Paul is writing to this church at Ephesus, and we saw this last week when he said to them, no longer walk or live like the Gentiles. So he's telling believers in the church of Ephesus to quit living like unbelievers, and we'll see that. Now, in this passage, what's so great, as you go through it, beginning at verse 11 through 16, as I told you, that's probably one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible because it talks about how a church is to function, what we're supposed to do. And if you remember in 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, he said, first of all, take your spiritual gifts, use your spiritual gifts, and he says, use those to equip the believers to do the work of the ministry, build up the body of Christ with the result of maturity and growth and that whole thing. That's what he said. Now, from there, he moves to the charges, and he's going to get very practical the rest of the book. In fact, when you study it, if you've ever read Ephesians, you realize that when you get into chapter 4, he starts telling us how to live and take off the old and put on the new, and he gives us four or five things at the end of chapter 4. Then in chapter 5, he says, be imitators of God as beloved children. He talks us how to talk, what to say, how to relate to one another. He talks about walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. He then gets real practical about the relationship of the husband and the wife. He talks about the children. He talks parents. I mean, he gets very specific all the way. So in the weeks to come, we're going to be, you know, it's going to get really hard because it's going to be practical things that we're supposed to live out. And so as we look at this, it's pretty powerful. Let me break down the outline for you. This is the section and it goes together. And that's why even though last week we looked at 17, 18, and 19 and just touched on 20, and tonight we're really going to focus on 20 through 24. They have to go together because here's the charge in 17, 18, and 19. Don't live like the unbelievers. He describes the unbelievers. He says they're simple in darkness and they're dead. He says, so don't live that way. And then he gives the charge, but you got to live as a believer, not as an unbeliever. Live as a believer. We've been taught the truth in Christ, and then he gives us those three things. Put off the old, renew your mind, put on the new. That's the three things. So we'll see that as we go through the study tonight. Now, as we begin, Paul gives this charge to these believers. Look at verse 17, and I just want you to touch on this. We're going to touch on them and then get into the verses. He says, so this I say and affirm to you, together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. When he uses the word Gentiles, he's not just making a contrast there between Jews and Gentiles. He's using this analogy of walk no longer as the unbelieving world, as the nations live. And he says, in futility of their minds. He says, they don't think the way we think. The unbelieving world doesn't think the way we think. And we brought this up last week. We got to be real careful because sometimes, as Paul says in Romans, he says, stop being conformed to the world. And what happens is the thinking, the plan, the dreams, the way the world thinks is molding us if we're not careful. And so we got to not think that way. How do the unbelievers think? We brought this up last week. I think there's a little there. They see life in a temporal way, not eternal. See, we're supposed to look at things in an eternal perspective, because the things that we do now carry on for all eternity. We have eternal life. The unbelieving world doesn't see things that way. They see it temporal. They live for today. We're not to live for today. We're not even to live for ourselves. We're to live for God and for others. The unbelieving world seeks material things. I mean, that's all they have. They actually believe that if you get something, it'll make you happy. It won't make you happy. It'll just tear up. You'll just have to fix it, and then you won't be happy. And so that's what happens with material things. They can never satisfy. It's only relationships that really make it. They live for self rather than others. And in each one, in the unbelieving world, people say, we decide what's right and wrong. And I brought that up this morning about asking who believes in absolute truth. And it is amazing that in the unbelieving world, of course, there is no absolute truth whatsoever. I mean, each person decides what they believe is right for themselves. But what is so amazing is you go to the believing world. You go to those who have trusted in Christ and ask them, do they believe in absolute truth? And only about 20% of believers actually state they believe in absolute truth. So the whole world doesn't believe in absolute truth. We do. So that's the way the unbelievers believe, in fact, or look. And he says it's an empty mind, it's futility. And then look at verse 18, and I'm going quickly through this. He says, they're darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God. And I don't think I have an overhead on this, do we? Or do we? Not on this. No, we don't. Okay, yeah, go back if you would. It says they're darkened in their understanding. They don't understand the things of God. Unbelievers can't understand the things of God. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And then it says they're excluded from the life of God. They're spiritually dead. When you look at an unbelieving world, and we talked about this last week, and we said, you know, it's sort of a sad passage. In fact, I wish we weren't going over it again tonight. But anyway, it is sort of a sad passage because he says, look how they are. They're darkened in their minds. They're ignorant in that sense. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And so that's what the unbelieving world is. They don't understand the things of God, and they're spiritually dead. He goes on and explains why in verse 18, in the middle of verse 18, because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They don't know the things of God, and they have hard hearts. And that's what the unbelieving world is like. They're closed to spiritual things. Now, the only thing that can help the unbeliever is the Spirit of God affects them. We already know in John 16, he says, for the Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So the Holy Spirit, the only hope for unbelievers is the Holy Spirit convicts them. That was the only hope for you. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. We're doing our own thing. And if it hadn't been for the grace of God and the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, we would have never been able to understand, comprehend, or come to God. That's just the way it is. And so that's the unbelieving world. And the Holy Spirit is convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But notice why they reject verse 19. And they, having become callous. That's the aspect of hardness. Their past feelings is what it says. It just doesn't bother them anymore. Some of the things that they do as unbelievers just doesn't bother them. And so we saw that. It says they have given themselves over to sensuality and every kind of impurity and greed. And so we saw a sad description last week of the unbelievers. And he says, don't live like them. You don't want to be like that. You got to be different. Empty minds, in darkness and in death, ignorance and hard-hearted, and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Now the problem with the passage is that believers can live just like this. Because we still have that natural bent to sin. We still have the flesh, which is pulling us. And we're going to talk more about it in a minute. But we still have the natural bent to sin. And so when people say things like, Christians wouldn't do that, they're not understanding what we're like. We have the capability of doing any sin. And so he says, don't live like this. Don't be like this. We're not to live this way. And as we get into verse 20, this is what he tells us, and we ended with this last time. You did not learn Christ in this way. He said, you weren't taught this way. When you became believers in Jesus Christ, and let's face it, as believers in Jesus Christ, nobody taught you to live like an unbeliever. First of all, you didn't have to be taught that way. You automatically did it. You were taught to live as a believer. You were taught to walk worthy of the calling. You were taught to live out the truths of God's Word. In fact, that's the plan. And some of the reasons that people do not grow as believers is they're never taught. They're not in churches where the Bible is taught. They don't study the Bible themselves. They trust Christ as Savior. They have eternal life. But they never grow. They never change. They're not taught enough. And they have to be taught. That's why the emphasis in a local church should be the teaching of the Bible. That's why Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Sunday school, it's the emphasis teaching the Bible. That's why it's CBI or our small groups or what we call our 412s or any of those. The emphasis is the teaching of the Word of God so you can know it and apply it in your life. You have to know the truths. We see it over and over and over again. That's just the way it is. And so he said, you didn't learn Christ in this way. We learn differently. We learn that we are children of God and that we're born again and that we were dead but now we're alive and that we're to live righteously and godly in this present age as we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior. We saw that we are servants of Christ. We saw that we are children of God. We learned that we are ambassadors and that we're to live by the Word of God. So he says, we didn't learn Christ that way. So when a believer is living contrary to the Word, obviously they are not, either they haven't known or not living by the Scripture. It is one of those two things. He goes on and says this in verse 21, and this is what we need to look at. If indeed, or since, in the Greek that's a first class if, that literally means since indeed you have heard Him and you've been taught in Him just as truth is in Jesus. He says two things. You've heard Him and you've been taught in Him. And there's two aspects there. There's the salvation message. You've heard Him, heard about Jesus and His death and resurrection, and you've been taught in Him. You've been taught the truths of God's Word. And so the bottom line is that's what's supposed to happen. And if believers in our church, if we are failing somehow to help equip the saints to do the ministry to build up the body of Christ, we've got to make changes. And if there are ways that we can do it better, if there are ways that when a person starts coming to our church, that we can help them get plugged in to small groups, get plugged into the teaching times where they can study and learn and grow, train them and equip them so that they can study the Word themselves. That's why you always hear us talk about the 412 foundation study. The reason that's such an important study, and I always say, everybody needs the 412. That's how we call it. And why? Is because in that study, not only does it talk about the gospel and how to present the gospel so that you can be trained and equipped to be able to share your faith, it also teaches in about four or five lessons on how to study the Bible for yourself, how to do what we call observation, interpretation, application, how to put the Scripture together and begin to understand it. It is important. And we all, and if you said, I don't think I've ever had that 412, you ought to have the 412. If you've never had the 2-2, you ought to have the 2-2. That's a deeper study. That's a different study. 412, maybe first, 2-2, second. If you've never had classes in CBI, there are classes taught every semester by people in our church that are fantastic. That you can say, man, that's the first time I've ever put that together. You can do that, and you should. So he says, if indeed, or since indeed, you have heard Him, you've heard about the gospel, you've heard the truth about Him, and you've been taught in Him just as the truth is in Jesus. He is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That He is the truth. So the charge, and this now it's going to get very practical, but his charge is this. Don't live like the unbeliever, live like the believer. And then he gives us three things. And just look at it. It's very simple. He says, here's the three things. In verse 22, he says, put off the old. Verse 23 says, renew your mind. In verse 24, he says, put on the new. A lot of times when you read the Bible, over in Colossians, it'll say something like, put off the old and put on the new. A lot of people miss the middle thing here that he talks about. They'll say, well, just put off that old manner of life and put on a new manner of life. There's something that has to go in between all that, and that's renewing your mind. And we'll talk about it as we go through in just a minute. So notice, let me just read that for you. 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. I'll skip down to verse 23, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and in verse 24, and you put on the new self. So there it is. Take off the old, renew your mind, and put on the new. And that's very practical. And let me say this as we get into this, you must do that. It doesn't just happen. You choose to put off the old. You choose to renew your mind. You choose to put on the new. One of the studies we have for our guys, and that we're doing it with our Wednesday morning guys, we just got through doing it with our Thursday morning guys, we call it Discipline for Godliness, based on 1 Timothy 4:7, which tells men to, well, it tells anybody, but the bottom line is, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Being godly doesn't just happen. You have to discipline yourself. You have to train yourself to be a godly person. You have to take off the old, renew your mind, and put on the new if you're going to be godly and live righteously in this present age. That's what we're going to see. Look at the first thing. Verse 22, he says, I think we got put off the old. We're going to go to Romans 6 in just a minute. But he says, put off the old. Notice this, that in reference to your former manner of life, the way you lived before you came to know Christ, in reference to that, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Now, he starts off by saying, in reference to the way your old mind, old thinking, old things, he says, which was empty, which was ignorant, which was dead, he says, lay aside this old self. We'd say it this way, don't live the way you used to live. Put aside that stuff. And I said a while ago that word literally means take off your coat. Take off your jacket. Take it off. Get it away. Get it away from you. Lay it aside. You say, I'm not going to wear this one anymore. I'm just not going to wear it. In fact, I'm going to get another jacket. I'm going to put that on. That's what he's going to say. The old self. He says, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. Now, we know the old self has a lot of names in the Bible. Sometimes it's called the flesh. Sometimes it's called the old man. Sometimes it's called the old self. Sometimes it's called the bent to do wrong. Sometimes it's called sin within us. We call it the flesh. That's the word we use the most when we start talking about it. We know that inside of a person, when we come into this world, we come in dead and trespasses and sins. We come spiritually dead. And we have a part of us, which is a conscience, which tells us right and wrong. We have the body that holds everything together. We have a flesh, a natural bent to sin. It's called the old self. It is natural. You don't have to, I mean, it is so natural that we automatically sin. In fact, if you just do what's natural in life, you're going to do wrong. Because that's the natural bent. Now, you still have that. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're now a new creation of Christ. We'll get more of that in just a minute. We're born again. We become a new creation of Christ. But we still have the flesh. That's why Galatians says, the flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another. There is a battle inside of every one of us. There is a natural bent to sin, and then there is the pull from the new man to do what is right. In fact, the new person can't even sin. The new part of us that's born again. We'll talk about that later. So you've got this battle. So he says, in reference to your former manner of life, how you used to live, that pull, you lay aside the old self. He says, get rid of that old self. Quit wearing the old self. Quit letting that old self deal with you in that way. We come into this world spiritually dead. We lay it aside is what he says. I want you to see something. Hold your Bible there because you're going to come back to Ephesians 5 and go to Romans chapter 6. Now, you heard me when we did the book of Romans on Sunday morning that I said that Romans chapter 6 is the most important passage in the New Testament on how to have victory in the Christian life. And it's the same truth. We died and rose again with Christ and consider that we're dead to that old self. What Paul is saying in Ephesians is take off that old self. That's your old self. You don't have to wear the jacket anymore. You don't have to wear it. You put on the new jacket. I want to look at Romans chapter 6 for just a second. Look at verse 3. He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, the word baptized there means identified, those of us who have been identified into Jesus Christ have been identified or baptized into his death? Now he's going to tell us the great truth. He's going to say that when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're placed in union with Christ, you're identified with him, and when that happened, you are identified in his death. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, you died with him. He goes on to say, therefore we have been buried with him through our identification into his death. We were buried with him. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We were identified with Christ. We were identified with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We are new creations in Christ. We died and rose again. We are new people. That's what he wants us to know. Verse 6 says, knowing this, look at this, this is powerful. Knowing this, that our old self, that's the old jacket, that this old jacket, this old self, the flesh, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with. Literally in the Greek, it means rendered inactive so that we no longer be slaves to sin. Now, the flesh is not gone, but you don't have to listen to it anymore. And you've heard me use that analogy many times about the fact that you might have had this job and now you don't have that job anymore. So if your old boss calls you, you can say, I don't have to listen to you anymore. Your old boss is your old jacket. Your old boss is your old self. He says, take it off. You don't have to obey it. And so when the flesh says, look over there, you can say, I don't have to look over there and I'm not going to. So quit telling me because you're not my boss anymore. Because the truth is, the old man is not your boss anymore. You take the jacket off. And so he says, knowing that our old self was crucified with him, put to death with him. And then here's the key. And he goes up to verse 11 and 12 of Romans 6. He says, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. You're dead to the flesh. You're dead to the old jacket. You're dead to the thing that you're supposed to take off. And you're alive in Christ Jesus. Therefore, here's the key. Literally in the Greek it says, stop letting sin reign in your body that you would obey its lust. He says, stop letting the old man rule you. Stop obeying the old man. Now, this is the victory in the Christian life. If you ever grasp this, if you will grasp it and put this thing together, your whole life will be changed. Because you're saying, wait a minute, I don't have to yield to the flesh. I don't have to do what it says because, see, that's the old jacket. And I take that off and I put it over here because I died with Christ and I rose to a new life and I'm a new person. And I'm really saying, hey, I'm putting this jacket off and I don't need this jacket. Where's my good jacket? Where's my new jacket? I'm going to put my new jacket on. I'm a different person. And that's what he says. We'll come back to Romans a little bit later, but that's powerful. So go back to Ephesians 4, where he says, in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self. Take it off. But I want you to notice how he describes the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. He says, literally, it's being corrupted. The bottom line is the flesh never gets any better. There are people who try to clean up their lives. You ever heard people say, you know, I'm going to get my act together. You can't get your act together. It's getting worse and worse and worse. If you think I'm going to get inside me and my evil thoughts and my pulls to do wrong, I'm going to somehow, as I live, I'm going to get better and better, and those thoughts will eventually go away. You're fooling yourself. It's corrupted. Never gets better. That's why religion doesn't work. See, religion is man trying to do something to get to God, and religion is always from the outside in. You clean up the outside, and that'll clean up your inside. Never gets to the inside. The only way you can be changed is you're changed from the inside out. That's Christianity. When you put your faith in Christ, you're a new person on the inside. Still got the pull to do wrong, but you're a new person. That's the only way it works. That's why religion never works. Can't work. So he says, put off this old. Now, he would tell all of us in this room, would y'all quit living by your flesh? Don't let your old natural way of living continue to pull you, continue to have that activeness in you. Take it off and say, I don't listen to you anymore. That's what you do. But then there's a second thing. And he doesn't just jump right into and say, now put on the new jacket. He says something else. He says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is number two. I think it's there. Be renewed in your mind. We all know Romans 12, and we won't turn there right now. But in Romans 12, he says, "And be renewed by the word of God." He says to renew our minds means to put the word of God in our minds. We must begin to think biblically. It is amazing to me that there are many Christians who, as they come to church and they talk about the Bible, but when you go out in the real life and the real world, the decisions, the actions, the way you think is not based on the Scripture. We must think biblically, and that's what he's saying. Renew your mind. Put off that old and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. As you put God's word in your mind, we know the truth and we live it out. That's how we think. We live biblically. You know, how do you do that? I was thinking of some things just to be very practical. Well, first of all, remember Proverbs 4:23, where it says, guard your hearts. That's your minds. Guard it. Guard what goes in. If you want to put off and renew your mind, you cannot put filth in your mind and expect it to be a renewed mind. You cannot watch some of the movies and some of the TV and some of the things that are there and some of the things to read and listen to some of the junk that's out there and then have a renewed mind. It's not going to happen because you're going to put that stuff in your mind. He says, renew your mind by going back to the Word of God and to the wholesome things and to the good things and to the things that build up and to the things that's going to help you grow. He says, and be renewed in your mind. So first of all, you got to guard your heart. Second is you got to study the Scripture so you can know it. 2 Timothy 2:15, you got to put together the truth. You got to rightly divide the Word of God. Over there, Awana's going right now, and the Awana theme verse is study to show yourself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. That's the verse for them. That's the verse for us. Maybe we ought to be in Awana. I mean, you know, that's the verse. That's the key. Study it. Dig it. Put it together. Rightly divide. Handle accurately the Word of God. I think another thing you do is you memorize it. We got a group of guys, the Wednesday morning guys and the Thursday morning guys, and we memorize verses all the time. And it's a little bit intimidating for all of us to have to stand up in front of each other and go over verses. But we do it. We do it because we want to put God's Word in our mind. We know that Psalm 119:11 says, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against you. We want to know the Bible. We want to be able to put those verses so that when we're talking to people that we talk biblically. Meaning we give them the Bible. We give them truth from the Word. And so you want to memorize it. You want to study it. And then you want to meditate on it. Joshua talks about meditating on the Word. And one of the very first Psalm talks about meditating on the Word. That means to see the truths and turn them over in your mind and think about them and all of that. So I think it's important. If you're going to renew your mind, you're going to have to study it. You're going to have to know it. You're going to have to put it in your brain. You're going to have to memorize it. You're going to have to guard your heart because you've got to be very careful what goes in. You've got to put the right stuff in. And so he says, listen, as far as your old manner of life, take it off. Take off that jacket. Take off those old shoes. Take off that old manner of life. Then be renewed. Renew your mind. Put the good stuff in. And then what does he say in verse 24? He says, and put on the new self. He says, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Put on the new self. We're a new creation in Christ. It is the most amazing truth that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now we're alive in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We're changed from the inside out. Ephesians 2:10 talks about, for we are created in Christ Jesus, his workmanship. That's we're new people. We're not who we used to be. He says, put on the new. You were dead, now you're alive. We couldn't understand the things of God, now we can. We were destined for separation, now we're destined for eternal relationship with him. We couldn't glorify God, now we can glorify God in our lives. He says, live out who you are. Now, in Colossians, I want to read this to you. You don't have to turn there. Just listen to this. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Paul says this, do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with evil practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. He says almost the same thing in Colossians 3, 9 and 10. But he uses it in the past tense. He says, since you've already laid aside and put on. Now to the Ephesians, he's telling them, you better do it. I mean, the Colossians have already done it. Do you want to be behind them? That's bottom line. And where are we? So he says, put on the new self. Now, I want you to see something that's powerful. Look at the end of verse 24 when he says, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created, notice, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now, this is something that people get confused on, and I want you to see it. Did you know that the part of you, and it's hard to divide you, can't divide you in that sense, but you almost have to pretend to be able to understand the concepts the Bible says. There is this part of you which is the flesh, which is sinful, will always be sinful, is corrupted, and wants to pull you that way. There is a new part of you, which is the new creation in Christ. I just call it the human spirit. That's what's born again, because you were dead in sin, you're now alive. This new part of you, he says, is created in righteousness and holiness. There is a part of you on the inside that is the new person in Christ that is righteous and holy. And guess what? Now this is it's a little bit weird to get this clearly. That part of you cannot sin. The new creation in Christ cannot sin. If you go to 1 John, where Paul talks about what John talks about it, he says that which is born of God cannot sin. That which is born of God is your new creation in Christ. That's why in Romans, when Paul is going through that part about the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do, what a wretched man I am, and he's going back and forth, he says something that sounds like he's schizophrenic. He says, when I sin, it is no longer me sinning, but sin within me sinning. He says, when I'm sinning, it's not me, it's not the real new me sinning, it's my old me sinning. He says, that part's not really me. And that's so true. You are a new person in Christ. You are born again. And on top of all of this, you have the Holy Spirit to come live inside you. So it is incredible on who we are. That doesn't mean you don't have that bent to do wrong. It's still there. So he says, and put on the new self. Now, how are you going to put on the new self? In the same way you take off the old self. You have to make a choice that you're no longer listening to the pulls. You're no longer going to do that. How do you renew your mind? You're going to make a choice that you're going to put the Word of God in your mind, that you're going to study it, that you're going to memorize it, that you're going to guard your heart, that you're going to walk worthy of your calling, and then you're going to do the new things. You're going to put on this new self. You're going to study and live out based on the Scripture. That's why, listen to this, you don't have to turn there. We were in Romans earlier, same passage, Romans 6, but listen to what he says. He gets very practical. He says, I'm speaking in human terms. He says, for just as you used to present your members, your body, to impurity and lawlessness, that's the flesh, he says, so now present your body to righteousness. He says, just as you used to live by the flesh, live by the Holy Spirit and the new person in you. Take off the old, renew the mind, put on the new. And the only way that's going to happen is you choose to do it. If you do not choose to do anything, you will naturally live by the old self. You will naturally live by the flesh, because that's what's natural. And so if you want to live righteously and godly in this present age, you're going to have to take off the old, you're going to have to renew your mind, and you're going to have to put on the new. It's powerful. So putting off the old means we don't live by the flesh anymore. Renewing our mind means we know and apply God's word, and putting on the new means we're living in God's power as a new creation in Christ. So we got to do it if you want to make a difference for Christ, and if you want to quit being frustrated in the Christian life. Because we all, most of us are frustrated. We're saying, I want to live right. We're all stuck in Romans chapter 7. Paul says, things I want to do, I don't do. Things I do, I don't want to do, I do. What a wretched man I am. Do you wake up in the morning and say, I want to live for God? And as you try to live for God, you blow it out the window and you go, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. I don't know why. You don't know why? Because you hadn't taken off the old and put on the new. You hadn't renewed your mind. And then next week, when we start looking, there are 4 to 5 things. He says, now here are 5 specific areas that you're going to have to deal with and train yourself if you're going to be godly. And they're right there. You know what they are? It's being, don't lie to one another. Don't be angry at one another. Don't steal from one another. Watch the words that come out of your mouth. Those are the things he's going to talk about. He says that these are areas you must train yourself to be a godly person if you're going to make an impact for Christ. So there's some powerful things there. May we put off the old, renewing our minds, put on the new, so that we will not be like the unbelieving world, but live as children of God in righteousness and holiness. We have seen the charge not to live like the unbeliever. We've seen they have empty minds. They're dark and dead. But as believers, we know better. We have not been taught that way. We've been taught like Christ. And so put off the old, renew our minds, put on the new. Let me give you the applications and we'll open up for questions. First, let us live as children of God, not as this fallen world. Let's do it. We got to. We're not to live as the unbelieving world. They're dead in sin. We're alive in Christ. We're children of God. We're to walk worthy of our calling. With that in mind, 3 things stand out. The first one, realize what the unbeliever is like. I mean, think about it. Now, we should know it pretty good because that's what we were, and that's sometimes what we are, but they have empty minds. They desire the lust of the flesh. They're living in spiritual darkness. They're dead in sin. What we're to do with them is share the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, I can still remember that after I trusted Christ, I'd noticed that there were the people who were giving the good news message, giving the gospel, people who led me to Christ. And they came to me and said, you know, JB, if you will believe in Jesus, you'll have eternal life. He died on the cross, he paid for sin and rose again. Now, you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's not one thing you can do, and you must trust in Jesus to give you eternal life. I saw that. But I also saw a group of other people that were saying something like this, that you needed to get your act together. You needed to quit doing these certain sins, and then you could come to Jesus. You don't go to the unbeliever who is dead in sin and can't understand the things of God and tell him to clean up his life. It's impossible. The only information they're going to be able to know and understand based on First Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. The thing that he can understand is when the Holy Spirit convicts him of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not believed. That's the message. When you talk to unbelievers, the only message you want to deal with them on is that they must trust in Christ as their Savior. That's it. Can't understand anything else. You're wasting your time. They'll get off on tangents about the book of Genesis and was it 6 days or not? And was there a Jonah and a big whale and all that? And did Jesus really walk on the water? And they'll get off on all these tangents. It means absolutely nothing. Stay on the issue. So let's realize what the unbeliever is like. Second thing is realize God's plan for us is to be different. We are to be different. He said, you've been taught differently. You did not learn Christ in that way. You have heard Him. You have been taught in Him. And you need to be different. We are set apart different people. That takes us to the third thing. And that is, let us live as new creations in righteousness and holiness. Let's live out who we are. And there are 3 things there. Put off the old. Renew our minds. Put on the new. So put off the old. Now, if you may consciously say from this day forward, I'm not going to listen to my flesh. I'm going to consider that I died with Christ and rose again to a new life. I'm going to stop letting sin rule my mortal body. I'm taking off that old man and saying, I don't listen to you anymore. Don't come pulling on me because I'm not listening. And then I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to take the truth of God's word and I'm going to begin to put it there. I'm going to guard my heart and I'm going to make sure that the right things are going in, not the bad things. and I'm going to study the Scripture so I can know it and be able to know the promises and the truths that He's given me. And I'm going to memorize it so I won't sin, so that I can go around and I can think biblically. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to renew my mind. And then I'm putting on the new. This new manner of life, this new creation in Christ. I've got the power of the Holy Spirit. I've got the Word of God. I want to live righteously and godly as I walk in the Spirit based on the Word of God and a walk of faith. And that's what we need to do. May we know and apply God's Word, renewing our minds, not living as unbelievers, but putting off the old, renewing our minds, and putting on the new as children of God in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great passage, Lord. It's just so powerful, and it's a charge that we've got to do, Lord, if we're going to make a difference. And I pray, first of all, for myself, Lord, that I will consciously discipline myself to be a godly man, that I will take off the old, and I'll put on that new, and I'll renew my mind, and I'll do the things that this passage talks about. And then even in the next week or two, as we look at specific areas to train ourselves, that we would do that. Lord, I just thank You for the believers. I thank You for each one that's come out tonight. What a great time we have. Lord, we want to live as children of God, not as people of this world. We want to realize what the unbeliever is like. We want to realize that we're to be different, and we want to live as new creations in righteousness and holiness as we put off the old, as we renew the mind, and we put on the new. Thank You, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.